Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Only update that I have from the Yankee side is Yeri De Los Santos. Yeri. Yeah, he gets DFA'd. And he should after tonight. And I'm assuming that's to make room for Fernando Cruz control. The splitter is back. The Yankees bullpen gets that much stronger. Good. Good. Because I don't know what the hell was going on in the ninth inning. They should have won that game 10-0. Hamilton night. They should have won 10-0. But then you put De Los Santos in there, and sometimes he's got it, sometimes he doesn't. He gave up a single, a walk. He walked in a run for the first run of the game. And then they got to go to Mark Leiter Jr. They got to get Mark Leiter Jr. up. And Mark Leiter Jr. is like, wait, what? Me? I got to go? Seriously? All right, who I got to face? And then, he ends up giving up a grand slam. So I think somebody tweeted me. I don't know if this is facts or not. They said Jacob Young has a total of 852 career at-bats. He's hit a total of 4 home runs, and 2 of them are off of Mark Leiter Jr. Whatever. The Yankees win the game, but they're such a, like, Jekyll and Hyde team. Like, they can do that against, it's not even Jekyll and Hyde. They can do that against the good teams. They can't do that, or they can do that against the bad teams, but they can't do that against the good teams. Can't hit all those home runs and score all those runs. I don't know. We'll see. They've got some good teams coming up, so might as well handle business against the bad teams and not play down to your competition. Tom is in Bergen County on the Fan next. What's up, Tom?
Hey, Keith.
Hey.
I just always enjoy your show, and definitely enjoy your rise to and your ability to share your story with the listeners, and your rise to and your appreciation of the position that you have.
Thank you.
I think it comes out, and yeah, it comes out in your broadcast.
Definitely. Yeah, what I'll say about it is, like, I don't know, maybe in 10, 15, 20 years or something, I'll feel like I'm Mike Francesa, but I don't think I could ever feel like that. Like, I feel like I have been blessed to get the opportunity, and I've made a lot of the opportunity, but I'm no better than anybody else. That's why I tell people all the time, I don't know everything. Call me up. Maybe you know something I don't know. Maybe I misspoke. Maybe I said something wrong. Like, I'm driving the bus. I'm just the one driving the WFAN bus for the time that I'm on. I don't think I'm better than anybody or smarter than anybody. I try to show respect to all my callers and give you guys time. And yes, I think it is very important to speak about your life and your journey and your family and things, because one, it does, you know, make you human, because a lot of people try to, like, dehumanize us. And two, we all have families and journeys and things. I think you got to be relatable as a host as well.
Entirely. And you kind of remind me in a way, like, Beningo's story is, wasn't he a contest winner?
Yes.
Like, he's a real right. Yeah, he was Joe from Saddlebrook, and now he's legendary Beningo. And I'm not trying to compare the two. But
you're not the first person
the
that has
of it. You know what? Okay.
You're sorry. Not the first person that has connected those dots and put those two together. I wasn't a contest guy, but I mean, it was, like I said, it was a shot in the dark. I got to give full credit to Spike Eskin. When he got the opportunity to change some things, he reached out to me simply with an email to get lunch. And we got lunch together. And the next thing you know, he asked if I wanted to see WFAN. I'm like, of course. I meet Craig. And then, like, we're starting to figure out when I can audition. And there was a bunch of other people auditioning. And the rest is literally history. But I think, you know, it took Spike having the courage and the guts to say, hey, I'm going to throw you into the mix of people trying out. And if all goes well, and you know what else is great too? He didn't tell me. They didn't tell me anything. I did my audition, and I was trying to get another crack at it. They were working on things behind the scenes, and I think like 2 months went by until about October where I had an inkling that I was going to get hired. And even when I got that inkling, I didn't know that it was going to be to do the nighttime and Steve Summers was going to retire. I had no idea. I had no clue.
wild ride. Two last quick things. I know you got, I got your time and I appreciate it. One thing, the caller before was talking about, I think BT said it, about Ben Rice being the most polished player on the Yankees. And I just want to clarify, I think I was listening. I mean, I was listening, definitely. But I think what he said was he's the purest hitter on the Yankees. And, like, that lefty stroke is very important to the Yankee identity. And what Ben Rice is doing, he's probably the only bright spot. He really is a left-hand. Like, there are not enough lefties. How are they not drafting lefties? How are they not developing lefties?
I mean,
lefties are righty. They're all righties. It's 314 feet, and Ben Rice is the only guy that right now.
Yeah, for years.
So credit to BT to clarify. That's all I'm saying.
No, okay. If he's saying he's the most pure and not polished, like, pure to me is just natural hitter, and he is. The way he squares up the ball, the way he hit that ball tonight, I'm like, you can't leave that pitch there for Ben Rice. He's parking that. They do have a lot of left-handed hitters now. When you look at Trent Grisham, Cody Bellinger, Jazz Chisholm, Ryan McMahon, who's been terrible, Dominguez, who hits from the left side of the plate.
All from somewhere else, though. They're not coming up through the ranks.
Exactly. What you're talking about with homegrown, sure. Austin Wells, Ben Rice, left-handed. Yeah, it's good.
Yep.
Between him and Cam Schlittler are under team control for the next 5 years.
Huge. That's important because, you know what? It might be. I mean, you need that youthful movement. You know, I'm a Yankee fan. I grew up a Yankee fan too, like you. So it's in there. Last thought. Hey, man. Full disclosure. When you were early, Fan Cave, I was camera guy. So we worked together a long, long time ago over at the old
house. Wow, I think you might have told me that.
Yeah. So we'll be in touch, and I know you got other callers too. But
how crazy is that to like see me in that project
for a long time? Yeah.
Mark Melusis came there. WFAN came there. That's crazy, Tom. Thank you so much for that call, and even reminding me that you were one of the camera guys there. I remember they had me call into Boomer and Carton back then, and leave a message. I knew it wasn't going to get played. I think it was just like. They wanted me to call into the morning show, but there was no way I was getting on. They had so many calls, but it was about like campaigning for Derek Jeter and the All-Star game. And like, you know, it was Jeter's last All-Star game. So I remember that. I thought that was cool. And then I remember meeting Mark Melusis, which like changed everything for me to like meet a radio host. And Moose was extremely humble and cool and just regular. So I was like, wow, like this is what Mark Melusis, the Moose is like. And I always tell the story about this keychain. I got that keychain. This, you know, this was one of the giveaways. And so every single day from 2014 on, I looked at the WFAN logo on my keys, locking the door, like leaving the door. It's divine. It's one of those wild things. Like what a sign that was. I didn't have an ESPN radio keychain. I didn't have a Sirius XM keychain. I didn't have a Hot 97 keychain. Like I had a WFAN keychain on my keys that I looked at every single day, and I was like, man, how cool would that be one day to get on the Fan? It didn't seem possible. It didn't seem obtainable. But yeah, shout out to Tom, shout out to Beningo too. People have definitely compared me, you know, being on at night and the story and the way that I got in here to Beningo. And yeah, I just got to keep doing it, man. More to do. I'm more motivated than ever. Let's continue with the show. And talking about the Yankees, and yeah, sure, Ben Rice, great, especially because the kid has evolved from being just a first base fill-in for Rizzo last year to now you can use him at first base, but he's our primary catcher, and he's having a great year, and we didn't know that, you know, so he's going to play a part in this postseason. The Yankees got to keep stacking wins. They got to keep stacking wins. It's going to get rough. It's going to get rough again. There are going to be better teams in the regular season. There's going to be better teams in the postseason. But nobody knows, you know, how it's going to play out, who is who and what is what yet. Let's go to Jay on Long Island next. What's up, Jay?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I'm also a listener this past 4 years. You're great. Love your show.
Thank you.
Well, I was sitting by the Yankee game. I went to the game tonight, and I was sitting there the first 9 2/3 innings. I was like, great, Yankees past two games, they've been doing well, they're back. And then Yuri Los Santos gives up a run, loads the bases, Leiter with the grand slam. And the Yankees, they just can't get it down in the clutch. And
like, I'm getting ready to leave, and I'm like, man, we can't, like, even though it was a clean game as far as, like, no errors, I'm like, we can't just shut them out. We can't shut the door on them. We got to load the bases, walk in a run, and then up here we go, grand slam.
We were one strike away.
It just shows you, man, it's like, I don't know. It's still a work in progress.
Good thing we DFA'd De Los Santos.
Yeah, good thing, De Los Santos. Thanks, Fernando Cruz. Let's make this bullpen stronger and let's push forward.
He didn't even get any outs. There was happened to be a ground to double play. They turned the double play. It was a nice double play. But he let six men on base.
Yeah, it just wasn't a good end of the game. What you want to do is try and stretch guys. Thanks for the call, Jay. You want to see how much you can get out of a Yuri De Los Santos. They flashed that bullpen budget, and the bullpen budget told you that, you know, Luke Weaver had 22 pitches the night before. Devin Williams had 15 the night before. Camilo Duvall, 18 the night before. So they're staying away from those guys. So then who's available, right? Saturday, Paul Blackburn should have been DFA'd tonight, but he threw 71 pitches on Saturday. Tim Hill threw 23, so he's probably staying away from them too. So that leaves Yuri De Los Santos. That leaves Mark Leiter Jr. and break glass in case of some type of emergency with those two guys, and if you got to go to your closer and David Bednar. So the bullpen budget told us, hey, these guys are going to pitch, and you tried to stretch De Los Santos and get every out of him, and he couldn't get an out. So you go to Mark Leiter Jr., whatever, he gives up a grand slam. Your run differential, you could have added 10 runs to it. Tonight, you end up just adding 5. It is what it is. Okay, I said we had Mike Tyson on my screen. We have a caller named Mike in New Britain, Connecticut, followed by a caller named Tyson in East Islip, New York. Obviously, we got to go to Mike first. What's up, Mike? You're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith.
Hey.
Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
So I had wanted to call you back, before the baseball season. I'm a Yankees fan and I'm a Giants fan. And when the Yankees changed the beard policy and got, they changed up the New York to not play it after losses, I thought to myself, well, Keith seems like he's got some influence. And I still don't know to this day how much you had to do with those changes. But at the time I thought to myself, well, I know it seems like he's more connected to the Yankees than the Giants, but maybe he could get some traction going behind the Giants getting those uniforms changed back. Because So I'm 44 years old. I've seen both. And when they initially changed, it was cool at the time because it was just something different, but that faded fast. And this is like a discussion between me and every Giant fan I know. Why won't they go back to those uniforms with the Giants on the helmet and the color scheme? I mean, the ones that they wear now with those gray pants, they look like the JV squad. And I might be biased, but when they wear the Color Rush uniforms that liken back to the 80s and the 90s uniforms,
yeah,
they're one of the best uniforms in the entire league.
That's the Giants uniform. Even, like, that is what the Giants are supposed to look like.
I think so. I mean, prior to that uniform, they did have that NY on the helmet, so I get it. They were maybe trying to go back and follow their history, but even watching the games on TV, they look so bland, the current uniforms, and when they wear the Color Rush, they pop on the screen.
In that stadium, so, too, for sure. Something with the lighting and the turf, like they should be wearing those.
Well, they changed the the end zone and the logo at midfield.
Oh yeah.
So just everything about it just pops. So like I said, I thought to myself, you had never brought it up, but you touched on it earlier tonight, and I said, all right, here's my chance. And I've never called the fan before, but I thought this was something worthwhile, and I believe that most Giants fans feel that way. So if you could get, you know, like something going behind that, me and a lot of other Giants fans would appreciate it.
Thanks for the call, Mike. Yeah, I'll lobby for it right now. I have it in front of me. It was in my notes, and I'm looking at these unis, and I'm like, don't they want to sell jerseys? Don't they want to bring back the vibes of when they were dominating and winning? And, like, you know, they show you the picture. Like, if you just search Giants uniform schedule and go to the Giants website, it's all right there for you when they're wearing these uniforms, and they give you the history on them and show you some pictures.
No, I agree with that 100%. Big Giant fan here. I do like their current home uniform, but I felt like the road uniform, just if we're big blue, to have such a red heavy road uniform is kind of crazy.
Red numbers, red stripes on the, yeah.
I like the Super Bowl, the Eli era road unis with the gray pants. You had a little bit of blue trim in there. But I think considering some of the teams are doing a thing where they've made their primary uniform like a modern throwback.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind if the Giants do it. I don't want to go all the way back to the 90s, but if you keep the same current helmet with that shade of blue with a variation of that color rush uniform, I think that would be gas. I think that's something that they should look into.
I think the navy blue helmets that say Giants on them are tough.
I like the NY. I'm not going to lie.
I know a lot of people like the interlocking NY.
It's a throwback too. That's the OG Giants look from the Yankee Stadium era. It means
something
to me.
I like the more like the navy blue, the white face mask. There's something about it. It just looks like they show, the first picture they show is Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah.
And it's like there's something about that classic look. Like that's what the Giants look like. And you can do it. Like nobody's stopping you from changing uniforms. Teams are changing. Like the Chargers just rolled out more new uniforms. The Chargers have a yellow uniform, a light blue uniform, a navy blue uniform, a white uniform.
They might as well be the Oregon Ducks.
They got the Oregon Ducks quarterback. Yeah, no, I'm with it. And so, like, you know, what they're, and I don't know, it's like, isn't the business selling jerseys? There was a leaked image of Jackson Dart, Cam Scataboo, and Abdul Carter with red jerseys on.
I saw that.
So.
And that's like a throwback. I think the mid-2000s, they had a red jersey during the Plaxico Eli era that they wore a couple of times.
To this day, I have a Tiki Barber red jersey that my mom has. I don't think I ever really wore it. I think I might have copped it because it was the era of the throwback jerseys, wearing whatever team, you know, and not really being a fan of the team, just getting a fit off. There's a red NFL equipment. Remember the tag?
That's the classic, yeah.
Around the neck, it said NFL equipment with the shield. I definitely have a red Tiki Barber stash somewhere in my mom's house from when I was young growing up. But, yeah, if I could lobby for it, Giants, if you're listening, they've already told you what games they're going to have these unis. But next year, why not just announce, hey, this is our uniform. This is what we're going for. And next year might be the year where the schedule is softer, where Jackson Dart is a starter week one, where you're looking to compete and win some games. The Cowboys will certainly be cooked. Micah Parsons won't even be on the team. The Eagles be far removed from their Super Bowl. I don't know, man. There's something to be said about your fans and that throwback uniform and kind of restoring the feeling and like getting the vibes from that time back into your stadium, back into MetLife Stadium, Giants Stadium. Yeah, I'm seeing Carl Banks, seeing even early Strahan in the uni. Phil Simms already said. You know what it is, too? I feel like because back then I used to just play the video game a lot in the early 90s. That's what the Giants look like on a video game. And trading cards. So, yeah, why not? No one's stopping you. It's not like the Giants have, like, too crazy of a look or a design. It's not like they've completely revamped their logo or whatever. Like, go back to what the fans like. And like Mike just said, when they flip the helmet at the 50-yard line and the end zones, sweet. Now let's go to Tyson after we talk to Mike. Tyson is in East Islip on the fan. What's up, man?
Hey, Junkie. Thanks for taking my call. Just like two quick points. I think you're probably like around the same age as me. I'm 39 and I'm a Cowboy Yankee fan. The first thing that's annoying is I think that both teams that we root for care more about financial success than actually success on the field.
Oh, yeah.
Frustrating.
Oh, yeah. I could talk about it all day. They are such money machines that, like,
exactly,
they can never lose.
No, just be good enough to keep everyone coming.
Yeah. 90s. 90s. Then, what a time. The 90s made so many of us in our late 30s fans of the Cowboys and the Yankees, and now they're the butt of every joke. They're even being compared to each other.
Exactly. The only other question I had was, like, you said it probably like 2 minutes ago, that Parsons might not be here after this year. So my only question is, obviously he's under team control this year, and then even if he doesn't play and he gives up game checks, which I doubt he will, Jerry can franchise tag him for 2 years. They control him for 3 years. So how's he going anywhere?
Yeah, I would think that after, you know, he pushes back for a year, they do consider trading him. Today, Dan Orlovsky was talking about, why aren't the Buffalo Bills and the Ravens on the phone with him? Like, I feel like the relationship is fractured so much. Like, Jerry Jones can throw the money at him, but, like, he might not want to play for Dallas anymore. He might not want to be a Cowboy anymore. I don't know. I just think a lot of this, too, is posturing. A lot of this is part of the negotiation as well.
The only hope I have is that, like, today Diggs came out and they're extremely close and expressed that, like, Micah wants to be here. He wants to be a Cowboy.
Oh, I did see that, too.
So I'm just hoping that, like, in the next week before, like, you know, Thursday Night Football against the Eagles, Jerry gets him to go, signs the contract, they get rid of the agent, and him and, like, Micah hug it out. And it's like, it was all the agents.
Did you hear what Dak had to say?
No, what did he say?
Dak basically said what you said today, like, without saying to everybody, like, this is what happens here. Dak said, like, this is the third year in a row we've had this happen here because they've had
Dak
it.
Dak signed the
week one. He signed like a couple hours before kickoff against.
Yeah, before they kicked off the Browns.
And now that this documentary is out, have you watched the Netflix doc? I heard it's really good.
Oh, it was awesome. All eight episodes are awesome.
I don't know when I'm going to get to it.
And they concentrate on like the dynasty. The first like seven episodes are all about like the 90s with like Switzer, with Jimmy. It's awesome. And then, like, they probably do one episode on, like, what's going on now, which is irrelevant. But, yeah, it's awesome. It brings you back and actually, like, makes you smile.
So they all know that Jerry is a clown, but he is a rich clown and the emperor, and it's his circus, and he's going to do what he's going to do. So Dak said, I've got confidence. I told y'all that way back when. I'm just going off of my experience. Honestly, it's no different than mine. Like, he expects him to get paid.
You know what the funny thing is? If you watch the documentary and see what Jerry did and how he changed the NFL, how he bought the team, how he gambled, how he risked, everything he did, I don't agree with what a lot of the things that he does, but you can't really blame him for doing what he does because he actually is that good. Like, he is a boss, and he changed everything. So why would he not agree with what he does? Because he's been that successful.
The last
you watch
part
the documentary,
of it, Tyson,
you see it, which is scary.
He was seen Friday, like, hugging Micah Parsons' mom.
Yeah, it was his mom.
And, like, I'm sure he's reassuring her. He's whispering sweet nothings in her ear. He even joked with her. He said, Micah, why aren't you playing? You're looking at me like you need some money. And, like, this is, exactly. Come on, this is Jerry Jones, bro. So
he's going to figure it out before the game starts.
And luckily, this time around, it's not a running back or a receiver or a quarterback that really needs those, like, reps and timing running.
No, not at all.
It's a guy that's got to put his hand in the ground, pin his ears back, and rush the passer.
Yeah,
and
just come
and
off
Micah,
the edge.
Micah's not going to need multiple weeks to get ready to help this team do that. So
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thanks for the call, man. 888-808-1019. I'm out on him. I'm down on him. You're not going to see me repping the Dallas Cowboys in a year. You're not going to see me repping the Dallas Cowboys in a week. I'm probably going to bet against. I'm good. I've seen enough. I've heard enough. And in my career that I'm building here, 4 years on the Fan, and who knows how much further or longer or where I can go now. Like I said, I never held a job this long. I haven't even put together a resume in years. I just think that I'll go a lot further not pulling up with a star on me. I think I'll go a lot further dissociating myself from Dallas Cowboys fandom. Forgive me, I was a child with no father looking at the TV, just wanting to be like what I saw on cable television, the Yankees, the Cowboys, and the Bulls. I got off the Bulls train because Mike retired and just rooted for the home team. Now it looks like I got to get off of the Jerry Jones train and pick a home team too. So I'll let my son do that. My son wants to be a Giants fan, a Jets fan, a Bills fan, even a Ravens fan. Off we go. All right. 888-808-1019. We got to take this break here. I'm running out of time. Keith McPherson on the Fan till 2 a.m. I'll be right back.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
KM to AM. No live stream tonight, as I saw online. My guy Mets D. Luffy was like, yo, no live stream? Nah, we're still working on it. And what I'll say is I am a novice at setting it up, but I know how to set it up. Like, I know how to fire it off, and I know how to, you know, go to the commercial breaks. But tonight, just the way it timed up, you know, two shows on our YouTube channel that are only on our YouTube channel that kind of just got to it before me blocked me from going live. Evan did a Rico Bronya riding home from the Met game, and then Hoff did a WFAN Daily right after he did the Rico Bronya. So I'm like, by the time they finished, I was like, I'm not going to fire up the live stream now. Tomorrow, we will look to do the live stream tomorrow on WFAN's YouTube channel. Something else that got cleared up. I think I said you go to the U.S. Open and you get a mint julep. That's me confusing sporting events. You get the honey deuce at the U.S. Open. You get the mint julep at the Kentucky Derby. I forget what else is out there. Do they have one at the Belmont for the Belmont Stakes? Do we have one in Monmouth Racetrack for the Haskell, a signature drink? I know Pimlico for the... why am I blanking on what they call Pimlico? In Baltimore... Pimlico, I know that they have what's called Infield Fest, and I did that one year, and it's just like all you can drink. Preakness. For the Preakness at Pimlico Racecourse in Baltimore, they do the Infield Fest, or they used to, where you buy a mug and it's all you can drink beer. I don't suggest you go do that all day. 888-808-1019. Back to the conversations at hand. For the Met fan, you know, looking at the scores across Major League Baseball, the Dodgers smacked the Reds tonight. So you're like, you know what you got to do here. What if the Reds go and get swept by the Dodgers at Chavez Ravine? Like, they could easily be swept by the Dodgers in Dodger Stadium. You got to take at least 2 out of 3 from the Phillies. You might be thinking about chasing down the Phillies, but I think it's more important to back off the Reds. And for the Yankees, as I'm looking at the standings here, you know, the Yankees win. They're a half game behind. That's another thing, bro. I was going into the Red Sox series just looking for a sweep. Or not looking for a sweep at all. Just looking for a split. You can't at least get a split. They get one game. And they're not that far from the Red Sox. They're a half game back. And, like, you'll see them again. Now, you can't take the season series from them, but you'll see them again to kind of right some of those wrongs. Right now, if the season ended today, the Yankees are the second wild card, and the season doesn't end today. I do believe the Mariners won, and I already mentioned Cal Raleigh with his 50 home runs. I'm like, how does he not hit 12 to at least tie Judge? How does he not hit 12 in the next over a month that he has to play? And they pitch to him every game. He's going to have so many chances to do it. I just don't see how it doesn't happen unless he hits the IL. But for our purposes here, yeah, the Mariners beat the Padres 9-6. And And then as far as like the Guardians and the Royals, they both lost today, didn't score a run. And they're not really threats. They're not really threats to catch the Yankees, I don't think. Not with who the Yankees are going to play. It's really just sorting this thing out about where the wild cards are going to fall. And I know some people were saying that, I think Evan was saying today, like the Mets don't, or, you know, the Red Sox don't scare him and whatever. I'm like, they should. They should. You don't want to end up in a series against the Red Sox in October. I know I don't, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Out in Los Angeles, my guy Jonathan on the fan. What's up, man?
Yo, what's good, my guy Denver? I just stepped out, but my son wanted to say what's up to you. But I call in tomorrow. He's like, are you calling Keith? He's like, boy, get your ass to sleep, man.
Yeah, that's my dog. Man. Tell Bash I said what's up, man. You can play it on the rewind tomorrow.
I got you, man. I'll tell him right now. Hey, man, regarding the Yanks, bro, I know we got our butts kicked this weekend. It is what it is, man. But, Schlitty, man, I really like him, bro. I see a lot of potential in him. The guy's clocking in 100, close to 101. Bro, there is something in this guy, man. Not only does he look like Gerrit Cole, but it's like Gerrit Cole pitching out there. Well, taller Gerrit Cole, yeah. Man.
Younger, taller, but similar demeanor. They're just, they're nasty. They're bulldogs on the mound.
Exactly, man. And you know what? Let's be honest. We're in the same boat, man. All Yankees fans, chances are we're not going to go this far this year. But we got some young studs out there, man. We're looking at Ben Rice. We're looking at, you know, oh, should I get started with Spencer Jones and the other guys? But who knows with those guys? But we started off with Schlitty, man. There's a lot of potential out there. I'm happy with that. Hey, man, shout out to you. You're so humble, bro, shouting out Don LaGreca. I mean, he shouted out to you once in his show, man. Yeah, that's why you are who you are, man. And you got to respect by tons of people out there, including myself. We love you for that, man. And, hey, man, you know, it's kind of funny. At 11 p.m. my time, at 2 a.m. Over there, it's like the hey, let's act like our crap don't stink with the Mets fans. And right now, the show starts with what's the guy's name? Tio? Al Cintron, the Mets fan. Oh, he's calling everyone the daddies of the Yankees. All right, man. I sometimes want to call him like, all right, man. You could act just fun. You guys act like your thumb doesn't spin, but it's all right. Mets fans will be Mets fans.
Yeah, my guy, you know. Got him called. They got to punch up, bro. They got to land some punches. It's been a lot of years. Thanks for the call, John. It's been a lot of years. I get it. You know, Al's going to come in, and he's going to pick up his Met fans, and he's going to take some swings at the Yankees, rightfully so. You know how it goes. It's back and forth. I don't know. I don't know what he's got planned. He's coming up. Stay tuned. You know, Met fans, stay tuned to talk to T.O. Al about where the Mets are. I didn't catch that, though. I think I did hear maybe Morash say something about that, whatever. But, like, is he wrong? The Red Sox own the Yankees. The Toronto Blue Jays this season own the Yankees. The Houston Astros have owned the Yankees. And they are our pops. The Mets aren't, though. I mean, the Mets are owned by the Braves. We don't have to go through. I don't have the time for all that. Tim is in West Orange on the fan next. What's up, Tim?
Hey, Keith. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Pleasure talking to you always when I get off work. You get me through my drives home at night when I have to get home late. I wanted to talk about the Mets, the game tonight. This was an exciting win coming back from 3-0. I was like, oh, here we go again. But the Mets actually showed some pride and trounce the Phillies, and that's a big win. I'm still holding out hope that they can win the division, but you're totally right about if the Reds get swept by the Dodgers and the Mets take 2 out of 3 at the least, hopefully a sweep, they could build some room between them and the Reds and actually get some comfort, and that then you take off to try to get the division. Just wondering what you thought about that.
Yeah, absolutely, Tim. And glad to be here for you and everybody else that's driving at night. I know that hustle. You know, as Jonathan's like, you're so humble. I'm humble because God humbled me. I got over 700 Lyft Uber rides. I've been, you know, in the car. And I just met somebody this weekend at the stadium. And they're like, bro, when you're on at night, you know, people ask if I could change the station. I'm like, no, not till the next commercial break. And I'm like, hey, they're giving you a 2-star rating. But, yeah, you know, even mentioning Don. I never heard Don, you know, shout me out on air. But I know Don LaGreca and I have a mutual respect. I'm looking forward to seeing him at Devils games. And yeah, to bring it back around with the Mets and this week, you know, what Tim just said, this is such an important week in your building. This is, like I repeat, this is probably the most important week. You need to take 2 out of 3 from the Phillies. Have to take 2. You got the first one, you got to win. You can't lose a series. You got to win one or both of these next 2 games. And then you should be taking 3 out of 4 from the Marlins, but we got to put respect on the Marlins. They're better than what we, you know, usually see from them. Taking 2 out of, if you take 2 out of 3 from Philly and then 2 out of 4, I think you'll feel a little bit, you know, better about taking 4 out of 7. But really, you got to get greedy here and get 5 out of 7 games in your building, because this schedule coming up in September, right off the holiday, you got to go to Detroit and face the Tigers. I know Tarek Skubal gave up a grand slam. But, I mean, sometimes he locks in and he's not giving up anything. So, I don't know. Maybe they don't hit Skubal, his turn in the rotation. But you've got September 1st, 2nd, and 3rd at the Detroit Tigers. They're a first-place team. You have then 3 against the Reds, where you hope that the Reds are so far behind you that a 3-game set with them, they still can't catch you, you know? And then 4 against the Phillies in Philly, which that's going to be tough. Those are all night games. You know those fans are going to be turned up. And then right after that, the next week, you have the Padres, and the week after that, the Cubs, where all those teams are going to be fighting and jockeying for position, the Padres and Cubs trying to still win their division. Like, it's going to come down to the wire, so you got to handle business right then and there. You got to kind of focus on what's in front of you. And like I said about this Mets game tonight, as I'm listening to the game and I'm watching the game on Big Inning, I'm like, okay, tonight, the Met fan, you watch them give it up early with Kodai Senga, and you're coming into that game knowing that he's off no rest. I'm off no sleep. He's off no rest compared to what he usually gets or usually needs. And so you're not thinking even much of Kodai Senga. But when he does strike out Bryce Harper to get out of that fourth inning, you're like, all right, gave us 4 innings, 3 runs. Shouldn't be insurmountable. Should not be insurmountable. And they immediately bounce back, right? They immediately tie the game and, you know, come back. So it's a new game. And then Alec Boehm is complaining about the light and the parabolic dishes and whatever the hell that was. I still don't even know why that even, who cares? I don't know. Was it that bright, like in the batter's eye, that you couldn't see? And then once you get the little bit of the rally, like I said, when Sanchez, when he balked, he like fell off the mound. Then he had a wild pitch. It's like, okay, you know, Vientos double. You're on the board. Brandon Nimmo gets some. Now they're tagging him. You know what? Like tonight you saw 2-out damage. Tonight you saw the bottom of the order come through. Tonight you saw the bullpen give up nothing. Tonight you saw the Mets tack on in late innings and not just say, this is enough. We got nothing else. This is enough. We should win like that. Like 13 unanswered runs, save some for the next day. But I just feel like there were no errors, a clean game. I feel like there were so many things that happened. And luck just went your way. Juan Soto should have been picked off, and it should have been an out. He ends up getting a second base. I don't know. There were just things that that went your way in this game tonight that I feel like you got to look at as positive, that you got to look at.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
That as the Mets potentially turning a corner and being able to build off of it this week at home in front of a crowd. Yep, there's another thing. You outsold the Yankees tonight for whatever it's worth. I've mentioned it. Evan Roberts has mentioned it. Of course, some people are going to say, Hamilton night versus a, you know, division game between the first and second team in the division. It doesn't matter. It's New York. people chose to go see the Mets tonight, and the Mets played the better game tonight. Didn't have the better starter. I'll give the better starter to Cam Schlittler. Again, that kid is, he's on one. Like, he literally, he's acting like he's been here for some time. Cam Schlittler is looking like he's been around. The last Yankee to do what he did was Tanaka in 2014. Jack Curry writes that Schlittler had a nice blend of his fastball and curve across six scoreless innings. He's allowed three runs or fewer in his first eight career starts. Who would have known? Who would have known? I remember hearing this kid's name and like seeing him a little bit in spring training and just kind of laughing at like, oh, that name's going to trip some people up. Even like people don't put the second L in the name. I don't want to say it how people are saying it. It's like people want to say S. They want to, I don't even know how to say it. They want to say like S-H-I-T-T-E-R when they say his name. Cam Schlittler, not Tur. Just call him Killer Cam, Killer Cam, Cam, Killer. He's nice. And it's good to have. You forget. You lost Clark Schmidt. He's going better than Clark Schmidt was going at times. We lost Gerrit Cole. This kid's looking like a taller, younger Gerrit Cole. So here comes Fernando Cruz, and here comes Yankee fans thinking like Cam Schlittler is going to be a starter in the postseason. He may. If the trust is there, you know Fried and Rodon are getting the ball no matter what because of their paychecks. But then is it him or Will Warren or Luis Gil? I think it's a toss-up. You go with who's going the best in the matchup. You go with, you know, who you think is, and this kid is showing that the moment isn't too big for him. He's not giving up home runs like he did when he started. Good. Caballero playing over Volpe. It is what it is, folks. I'm rooting for the kid. I don't think they're quitting on the kid, but they don't have time for 1-28 in your last nine games. They don't have time for being timid and not charging the ball. They don't have time for, oh, I'm just going to go to second base and not get any outs. They don't have time for airmailing the ball above the dugout. Like, this is part of the sense of urgency thing. It's not about feelings anymore. It's not about saving face. It's not about being right. It's about like actually like playing the best players and getting the best results. We'll see. I think Volpe's in the lineup. If Volpe's not in the lineup today, he's definitely in the day game. I'll see you at the day game on Wednesday. He's definitely in the day game on Wednesday because they're not quitting on him. He is their guy. And as much as they have kind of like, I don't know, the Volpe thing is like from Volpening Day, you know, giving him number 11, just starting him and saying they weren't ever sending him down, to just completely ignoring a lot of the glaring stats and numbers, like out of 88 hitters with over 1,600 at-bats, like he's 88th in like three or four different statistical categories that just tell you like he's barely playing at a major league level. It was time. It was time. And you hope that when he does step back in the game, he gets right. You know, when he does play, he finds it. It is crazy. I just think it's a lot for the kid. I just think it's a lot for somebody who grew up a Yankees fan. Your family is Yankee fans. And shout out to his family. They're great people. And I know they're going through it because, one, they want the Yankees to win. Two, they want their son to do well. These things are compounded. Like, ideally, your son is doing well and helping lead the Yankees to victory. Last thing that I have here in my notes as I'm combing through, man, I don't know what it is about the Cardinals. I know they're not good, but their fans usually show up. So the Cardinals announced a ticket sold crowd of 17,675 tonight. That's the smallest in Busch Stadium history. It's the first time they've sold fewer than 20,000 tickets in their ballpark. Now, I know there was some stuff going on. I know someone got shot out there, I think, last year. I've never been to the Lou. That's one of the ballparks I haven't scratched off yet. But, like, they have a culture that exists out there. They're used to being pretty decent where their fans show up no matter what. Not anymore. Not anymore. It's funny because, you know, people call for Yankee fans to not show up. Oh, here it is. I have it. 88 players with 15,000-plus plate appearances. Volpe is 88th in batting average, 88th in on-base percentage, 87th in weighted runs created, 87th in OPS. Oh, you can't hide him from that. You can't hide him from that. Shout out to Devin Williams, though. We were calling him Low Lev Dev. He don't want the nickname. He's back in high leverage doing his thing. Good to see. Devin Williams up and down. Devin Williams is the roller coaster as we talk about the Yankee roller coaster. He's got his own ride in the amusement park. We're stuck on that ride. Those jokers had the audacity to put Devin Williams in and put Volpe in at shortstop. I'm like, oh, they love to do this. Nightmare fuel. They love to tempt fate. Sunday Night Baseball. All right, man. Unk is coming up next. Your favorite Boricua Unk. T-O-L. Filling in for C-Mac. That's all I've got. Great win by the Mets. Good enough win by the Yankees. Thanks for listening to my show on my four-year anniversary. I appreciate you all. Stay tuned. Good night.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.